This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Hey, what happened to the sunshine? What the hell happened to the sun? It was a beautiful day when I left my home, and then I started getting text messages about severe thunderstorm warnings, and then I heard from our friend Jeannie Sullivan from Pet Supplies Plus in Baldwin, and then limbs were falling off trees, and then it kind of moved into downtown, Sue. Look at that.
Yeah, it did. It's kind of from the west and also coming up from the south. Boy, we're really getting it right now.
But I think it's more quick hit and maybe even, well, what do I know? I don't really know. But I mean, when I looked at the forecast earlier, it was like a slight chance of thunderstorms, but we're getting those, but I think they'll move away. I'm doing Dave Murray, even though I haven't looked at the radar or anything.
That's your way.
Yeah, you don't need Dave.
Need him.
When I drove in, though, you'll like this. So as I headed into downtown, I had to take a right at Clark because they have 14th blocked off in front of Enterprise. I believe it's for the Frozen Four.
It is. And I just saw people in the weird weather and the wind walking in from hotels all over the place. And I thought, welcome to St. Louis.
Well, but what's funny is when I came in, it was perfectly sunny. As I drove by City Hall, you know, I drove by City Hall because of that route. And there was a horde of reporters out there.
Ooh.
It was Kara Spencer's first news conference.
Look at that.
I know. And so here's something we didn't address yesterday, and I'm going to act like I knew this all along, but I didn't know it all along. Do you know when she actually takes office, Sue?
It's pretty soon. Is it like
Fred, do you know?
No.
The weekend
Ethan,
or something?
Do you know?
Of course I don't.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like this is in they were Sean Malone was trying to explain this to me over on the KMOX site. It's based on the second Tuesday after the first Monday. I don't know what it is.
Right,
something
goofy
like that.
It's based on a moon.
Yeah, it might be that too.
Yeah,
but
the angle of the moon and the sun and all kinds
of stuff. I did shoot Kara a message of congratulations. I had held off because I figured she was probably getting thousands and thousands of messages, election night and yesterday. So I told her that we wish her well. For sure. You know, that there's people on our side of the political aisle that are certainly rooting for her to have success
yes.
in St. Louis. And I'm sincere about that just because I think we need so much help here in the city moving forward. Now, there's one thing that she did earlier today. Ethan sent this to me. I mean, look, I like the aggressiveness of it, but this was the tweet. It said, KC is making moves to attract the Raptors. This is in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors, to play their next season in Missouri. As mayor, I'll make bringing the NBA to St. Louis an issue that we're leading, not following on. Now, I like that being aggressive and stuff. Do you know what's the deal with the Raptors? Are they?
I hadn't heard a single thing about this before seeing this article.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, it's now here's the thing about that. And like the first comment was pretty on point from someone named Scott that said, wait, hang on a second. Aren't you the one who fought the local pro hockey team about upgrades to the arena to attract future events like the All-Star Game, the Frozen Four, and other events? I guess we just roll out the red carpet for the NBA, though. That's kind of calling out the hypocrisy on that, because that really did happen. But look, it's a fresh start in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
We're going to look forward. We're not going to look backward. And if she's able to achieve some economic victories, whether it's by bringing an NBA team here for a couple of games or whatever, we'll cheer that on for sure. But we'll have a lot to say on that during the roundtable tomorrow. Let's talk about our Fish Fry Fridays wrapping up. It is stop number 5. We're in Millstadt, Illinois. The big achievement here is that I figured out how to pronounce Millstadt after saying Millstadt for so many months. Sue has broken me of that habit. But we're not at a church tomorrow. We're at Ott's Tavern, which is on Washington Street in Millstadt. I'm not familiar with that area. We're going to become familiar tomorrow for sure. We'd love to see you. And have you looked at the menu?
I'm going in. No, it took me a while. I got distracted by traffic.
Ott's Tavern must be a big place, though, don't you think?
It must be. Okay, it says menu, but I don't know if that's going to be fish fry. Give me a minute.
Also sounds like a place that would have a little baseball on tomorrow, maybe some hockey, right, because it's a tavern. I don't know. I'm thinking optimistically about what tomorrow might be.
I like that. It freaks me out when you
do that. We'll have a Reardon Roundtable live from Ott's Tavern in Millstadt. Jane will be here, former St. Louis County Police Chief, and former St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch, State Rep Steve Butts. We'll also be on the panel. We'll have Paul Hall with entertainment. Kusumano will be here on sports. Illinois State Rep Kevin Schmidt from Millstadt will swing in and visit us after 5 o'clock. And then we're going to track the Masters here this afternoon. Dan Reardon gave a great, great preview yesterday. He is down there at Augusta National. I think the weather's pretty nice today. And he's keeping an eye on the leaderboard. And we'll get to him in the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, we have a bunch of people in studio today, which is exciting. We don't always have that, but we kind of accidentally have Ilya Shapiro coming in a few minutes because we didn't realize he was here until yesterday. And I said, Fred, wait a second. And we just had him on, right? Monday or Tuesday?
Right.
One of those days.
I just talked to him as if I was bringing him up the elevator. And he apologized for not mentioning it. He says, but I'm somewhere new every week.
Well,
and it
right.
doesn't even dawn on me to make the connection.
And you know what? I totally believe that. And I can't relate to that because I'm not someplace every week. I'm right here. Another thing I should warn people about this afternoon, if you're, you know, kind of paying attention to the stream on the YouTube or on the X, formerly Twitter, there's a small child wandering the studio with a hoodie on today because we had some moms out of town and we had some child care issues. I had to pull her out of school today a little early, Sue.
Oh, gosh. Hi.
And she's only been in fourth grade maybe a total of 30 days the entire year based on snow days and the days that we pulled her out and the wrong cruise and all those things. So she may be able to help you with Sue's news here this afternoon.
Fantastic.
But also Steve Melvin's coming by, St. Charles County executive. He's going to talk about something pretty cool with a new police training center. I want to see what his relationship would be with Kara, his thoughts about, you know, the future of the downtown area and the future of the region, because Steve's involved in a very important part of that. They announced the lineup for Evolution Festival today, Sue. Ooh. You know, you're not really a big music festival person.
No, though. There's a lot of people there and sweating.
Yeah, I get that. You know, like if you go to some of these big ones, you end up having to kind of plan for the fact that you're not going to take a shower for a few days. That's really not my scene. But look, Evolution Festival's been pretty cool the last couple of years. And there were some questions, I think, in the aftermath of last fall, whether or not it would survive. But it did. I don't know that they're making a ton of money. The lineup, I'm just going to be honest. We'll have Jeff Jarrett on from the festival in the 4 o'clock hour. I was a little underwhelmed by the lineup. The headliners would be Lenny Kravitz and Sublime. A couple of acts that I do like. Sam Fender. I love Sam Fender. Been waiting to see him for a long time in St. Louis, so I love that. Father John Misty, Marcus King. But some of the other, you know, the acts that aren't the headliners, I don't know. I think they have done better in the past, but we'll talk with Jeff. And by the way, what do I know? I'm probably out of the demo on this stuff anyway, right?
Probably.
You're about to get out of
I mean,
demo.
Lenny Kravitz is probably getting people your age there.
Well, what they're doing is they're doing some... thanks a lot. Lenny Kravitz is going to get old people there.
Yeah, but he's super buff, so he gets the kids, too. I'm just saying.
No, that dude is... He's like the coolest person I think I've ever seen.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And being completely ripped does not hurt.
Yeah, and I have no relation in, you know, to that for sure. But I do love Lenny for sure. And I've never seen Lenny Kravitz, so that would be somewhat of an appeal. But they kind of went along, and this is where you lose me a little bit, because you have Public Enemy, TLC. I want to see alternative music and rock music at these festivals. But again, I'm not I'm not necessarily the only person in the demo, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Our friend Dwayne Patterson from hotair.com will be here in the 5 o'clock hour, and a whole lot more, plus audio cut of the day. Before we get to Ilya, I want to share this because I don't want to run out of time today, and even though I have the segment for audio cut of the day, Dan will be here with the Masters. But I found something today that I found fascinating, and it was John Rich, who's a country star from Big and Rich. And John's on, Fred, you probably see him. He's on,
oh, yeah,
Fox,
he's on Fox News
quite a bit. Yep. You know, they use him as a bit of a, well, entertainer. Sometimes he plays music on Friday, but he's a bit of a pundit sometimes, too. He weighs in on the issues. Ethan, do you remember the name of the podcast that you were pulling this from?
Ooh, I do not remember off the top of my head. But
hang on, I
want
to, because it's important for me to say the podcast here. I thought it was interesting because this is, I think it's the team that put together that big, it's like something in a small town because it's based on the Jason Aldean song. So, you know, if you find it, let me know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The team that
Standing
wrote,
in God's Light? Is that
no,
it?
The podcast is something like Something in a Small Town. Just look for that or Google that and then let me know what it is. So John Rich was on this particular podcast. Now, he's pretty, I think he's relatively
Try
close.
That in a Small Town podcast.
What is it?
Try That in a Small Town
Try That
podcast.
In a Small Town. That was a song by Jason Aldean. So the writers and the team behind that song, they do this podcast. Now, for a majority of the podcast, they're talking music. It was cool. I love to hear the music stories. I have a really good one from Howard Stern today, right before Sue's News with Adam Levine and the little background with the song Moves Like Jagger. Which you'll enjoy.
Interesting. Okay.
I think you'll enjoy the backstory here. But John Rich, in the middle of this podcast where he's talking about music and all kinds of cool things, and by the way, again, if you just want to hear the music stuff, it's pretty good. But he tells this story about being with President Trump and having to break some news to President Trump about why some people were booing him at his rallies. Now, this is the audio is a couple of minutes. Ethan, you called it down. It's like a 7-minute story, so we're going to do it in like 3 minutes. But listen to what he says here.
So I'm sitting around a table, not much bigger than this one. It's Trump in the center where you're at. I'm just to his left. Herschel Walker is just to his right. Marsha Blackburn, Senator Bill Hagerty. And Lindsey Graham, my least favorite politician in the world.
No. All right, so what's funny about that is he'll circle back on that in a second, and there's an interesting full circle moment there. But I do want to mention, I think John points this out. This was taking place 3 years ago in 2022, so he was not president. Biden was president at the time, okay?
We're sitting there, and everybody's eating their food, and President Trump is not president at this time, and he's talking to the senators and talking about really important stuff, and I'm just minding my own business going, I don't know how I got in this room. Well, okay. I'm sitting elbow to elbow with him. It's about an hour into dinner. I hadn't said a word, just been listening, and he goes, can I ask you a question, John Rich? He never calls me John. John Rich?
I do love his impersonation.
You know, I love that.
He does a pretty good Trump, yeah.
I look at him, I go, yes, sir. What's the question? He goes, well, you do a lot of big shows. Like, you're an entertainer. Yes, sir. You play for really big crowds. I go, I do. I play for really big crowds for a long time. He goes, well, have you seen these rallies I'm doing? Like, it's 30, 40,000 people. I said, yeah, it's unbelievable. He goes, so here's the question. Why are people booing me at my rallies when I bring up the vaccine? This is the question from the President of the United States. A guy who is very proud at that moment of the fact that he was able to stomp the gas pedal and get that thing out because he's under the impression this is going to fix the problem.
Operation Warp Speed.
That's it.
Yeah, so this is, you know, pretty close to the end of the pandemic, if you will, in 2022.
It was.
So, but John Rich, man, he ends up, you know, giving him the tough medicine and telling Trump why.
Looked at him and I said, okay, I'm going to tell you the answer and you're not going to like it. He goes, okay, what's the answer? You're going to look at me like this? I said, let me start off by saying this. We, the American people, do not trust the people that you were forced to trust at the time when this was happening. Let's start there.
He's right about
that.
By
the people we don't trust, here's who I mean. The FDA, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO, Fauci, and all the rest of them. I said, Mr. President, we consider them to be a bunch of murderous, depopulationist psychopaths. He goes, Unbelievable.
I love that part right there.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, that's pretty hardcore from John Rich, and then they keep talking about this.
Unbelievable.
He's stunned. Impression.
No, he is stunned that I said that. I said, now, let me tell you why they're booing you. I said, because all of them, including me, I said, I would boo you. I would boo you.
Really?
Wow.
If you brought that up, and here's why. And he's looking at me, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the last time this guy's going to invite me to anything.
Yeah.
He's never going to call me again. I'm throwing massive shade on a former president's, in his mind, one of his biggest accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, nobody had told the man what I was telling him right now, because they all work for him. They all got something to gain from him. Yes. They're not going to tell him this.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And he knew.
I think he's probably right about that.
Because they're not serving him well. I don't work for him. And I think a lot of him. And I want him to understand the truth about it. So I said, here's the problem. Here's why they're booing you, Mr. President. Because every human being out in that rally, either themselves or they know someone directly who has been harmed by the vaccine or has even died from it, including me. I said, I got members of my own family who were forced to take it against their will to keep their jobs. And now they've got all kinds of problems.
You know, I know a couple of people that are pretty convinced that the vaccine caused some damage, but the way, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, maybe even this hour, the way that this was forced upon people.
It's the forced thing.
It just makes me so angry looking back in retrospect. And look, I'm someone who made bad mistakes during that time, making assumptions. There's no doubt about it. But one more part of the story, and we'll get to the Lindsey Graham stuff is good here.
And he's looking at me, and he looks around the table, and he goes, this is unbelievable. I mean, he goes, has anyone else heard this? Herschel Walker, he was running for Senate at the time. He goes, Mr. President, I mean, down in Georgia, my constituents come up at my rallies, and what John just said, man, I hear it every single day. Looks over at Marcia. Marcia's sitting there going, you know, looks around the table. And then Lindsey Graham, who's sitting across as I'm
wait for it
into the part where I said, even in my own family, I have Lindsey Graham busts in with it swishing his Chardonnay around and said, Mr. President, if you listen to conspiracy theorists like John Rich, the Democrats are going to take credit for what you did and they're going to beat you in the next election with it. And I looked at him and I said, do not interrupt me when I'm speaking. Do you understand me?
You what?
He looked at me and he goes, well, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I go, yeah, but you did. And then I finished it. Trump ended that by saying, so I guess no more vaccine talk. I said, I think that's a good idea.
That's a great story.
Wow.
One of the more fascinating aspects is, and I think he's right, that there wasn't anyone really telling the president the truth on that, which kind of fascinates
me. It's
odd,
but it may be that they were all too involved. I mean, John Rich is just a guy who would know and would have the backbone to tell him. That's impressive.
That's a great story. Thank you, Ethan, for calling it down. You might enjoy the podcast if you listen to the whole thing because there's a lot of music stuff in there as well. Ilya Shapiro, who is the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute, is in town for a talk at Wash U tonight. He's in the studio next.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, we got a little traffic situation, don't we, Sue?
Yep, we've got a vehicle fire, which is odd in all this rain, but it is actually westbound 6440, just east of Prospect, and all lanes are closed. So if you're traveling out there wondering what the heck is going on, they're dealing with it and trying to get it off to the shoulder.
But I asked you, like, where is Prospect? This is way out near Lake St. Louis or past
it's
Lake St. Louis?
It's past Lake St. Louis. It goes Lake St. Louis Boulevard, Prospect, and then 70.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know right where that is, and that's an area that, you know, jams up anyway, so it'll just be extra
correct.
Jammed up today. We'll keep you posted on that for sure. We have Steve Ellman dropping by, if he can get here, with the traffic from St. Charles County. In the next hour, we're going to get a little preview of the Evolution Festival. The lineup was announced today. Jeff Jarrett, who is a senior VP and partner at Contemporary Productions, Mr. Shankman, was busy. Jeff's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. So we had Ilya Shapiro on the show a couple of days ago, and then yesterday I was talking about the Show Me Institute, and I was on their website at showmeinstitute.org. We love the Show Me Institute, great think tank here, great sponsor of the show. And I was looking around, I see this thing about Ilya Shapiro being in St. Louis.
Wait a minute.
And it said it was April 10th. I'm like, wait a second, tomorrow's April 10th. I just talked to Ilya. But you're here, Ilya! How are you?
You know, it's like Groundhog Day. I think this is like my fifth time or so in studio, and every time it's like I've never left. I feel at home, and you know what? Please don't be offended. I don't tell anyone when I'm going. I just have my schedule. My wife's like, where are you going today? When are you going to be back? Okay, you know, and that's
no,
about
I'm
it.
Not offended at all. Honestly, I did a double take because I'm like, did I miss something? And was this an event from last year, and they still have it on the website? But you actually had two events. You were at WashU earlier today, right?
Yeah, great event at the law school there about my latest book, Lawless, The Miseducation of America's elites talking about the crisis in higher ed. More than 100 people turned out. Apparently, there was a little bit of controversy ginned up on student Reddit boards or group chats or something like that, but nary a protester when I showed up. Good discussion, good Q&A. And that was also co-sponsored by the Show Me Institute, kind of an intro to the Show Me's event that I'm doing later today.
So what was the Q&A like? I'm curious.
All over the place.
On that issue.
All
right?
Over the place. Some students asking, you know, is there a way to fix DEI? And I'm like, no, we got to end it, not mend it. Some students asking about the immigration piece, which has heated up in national news the last month. Can or should foreign students really be deported over a blog post or an op-ed or what have you? And the answer is, it depends. It's an immigration regulation thing. And like, if you give a speech or write an article supporting the violent overthrow of the U.S. government, for example, that is a deportable offense. Or more explicitly, legally, it makes you ineligible for a visa, meaning your visa can be revoked. So there are issues there in terms of ideological screening that we apply and other things, governance issues. Some faculty were there asking about how academic freedom plays in. A wide-ranging conversation.
What do you think? You know, did you hear what Obama said this week on the higher ed thing? Because, you know, the topic of some of the funding being pulled, and maybe you and I even address this issue, but these universities, Harvard, etc., they have huge endowments, right? And I think Obama's recommendation was...
It's not about the size of your endowment, Mark. It's how you use it.
Well, what he was saying is use the endowment. And I'm like, okay, good. That's fine, right? I think, unless I misinterpreted him, but let's use some of your own money instead of the taxpayer money would be my position.
Absolutely. The thing is, federal funding has always had all of these strings attached, ranging from accounting standards to civil rights laws, free speech. I mean, all of these things. This is not something that's invented by the Trump administration. The problem is, for decades now, nobody's been pulling on those strings. So the schools have gotten lax and aren't enforcing a lot of these protections for student and faculty, civil rights, speech rights, academic freedom, all these things. So all of a sudden, there are these investigations because the crisis in higher ed has been elevated by the pro-Hamas demonstrations and what have you that have been blocking access and vandalism and all the rest. And the universities are in a tough spot. But no, they are not suing. They are negotiating. And so that means that, they're being strategic about this.
Do you think, I'm curious, do you think that maybe Columbia is certainly not in this group, or maybe some of the really fancy East Coast? Do you find, though, or at least think that the administration in a lot of these universities are maybe not so crazy as the professors and the students, but they're put in that position because they have so many crazy people that are yelling at them?
As I learned in doing research for my book, Lawless, the bureaucracy is actually the most radical part of this whole scheme.
Really?
As bad as some faculty are, and it's partly a generational thing, millennials are more activist than their boomer seniors, who, even if they're designated as equally Democrat or equally to the left or what have you, so there are some kind of tonal or modal things there. But the bureaucrats, especially in the last decade, the explosion of the DEI offices, they are far to the left of the faculty. And of late, the educational leaders, the deans, the presidents, et cetera, don't want to cross the DEI offices. And so it's not that they themselves are woke radicals. They're spineless cowards. And they just do not want to control the illiberal inmates who have taken over their institutions.
Do you think, my guess would be you could probably write a pretty good sequel to this book as well, just based on what's happened ever since you finalized the print because of the developing stories that keep happening. But do you think any of the lessons are being learned here or not?
It depends. Some places react in different ways. So Yale's law school dean, Heather Gerken, who dreams of becoming an Ivy League president, recognized that the black eyes that her institution was getting were not good for her own personal success, and decided to reassign some staffers who had been involved in some crazy scandals, threatening law students' bar license over impolitic tweets or something like this. Lots of crazy stuff that was going on at Yale. She hired as well a senior faculty member from Princeton to head up this big free speech initiative, hired a junior faculty member who had clerked for Justice Alito. These things would not have happened at Yale 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So there are savvy educational leaders who are responding to bad PR and also to losing donations. Even Harvard, that has $60 billion in their endowment, as you were alluding to, when their rates of donation drop 5%, their applications drop 5%, that might seem like small beer, but they want to cut that off at the pass. They Absolutely. Recognize where their bread's buttered.
Ilya Shapiro is here. He's in St. Louis. He was at WashU earlier. He's going to do an event for the Show Me Institute tonight. We love the Show Me Institute. His book is called Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elites. Was there another, and I want to get your thoughts on, we may have talked about this a couple of days, the federal judges that are putting injunctions on the Trump administration. I thought maybe I saw something even today. Do you know? I know you've been busy. Was there something that might have happened?
I can't keep track of everything.
No, it is hard to keep track.
There may have been something. It's been, again, the Supreme Court is not ruling on the merits, on the underlying substantive legal issues, but it's basically telling the lower courts to chill, to say, look, you have to take seriously these venue issues, jurisdictional issues. You can't just put in a universal injunction against everybody willy-nilly. You have to go through more process. At the end of the day, I mean, the Trump administration, I think, is going to win about 80% of these cases. But the court is finally starting to say, like, whoa, Nelly, you can't just forum shop those who are opposed to the Trump administration. It's going to be a long legal slog. You might get some things. They might win others. But this is, we have to go through the normal process and not go around with our hair on fire.
But when they say, you know, whether it's J.D. Vance or Trump or someone else, they say, look, these liberal activist judges that are doing that, your response is what? Is that true? Or is it just judges in some cases that are, you know, maybe seemingly trying to do their job and not be activists?
Well, it's a mirror image of what right-wing activists and politicians were saying under Biden when challenges were, when left-wing politicians and Biden himself in that administration, when challengers would go to Texas and other places that with more safer judges for, sure. for their regard. So, you know, all institutions right now at are kind of a historically low level of public confidence. The judiciary is actually doing better than almost any institution. The Supreme Court, contrary to some of the media narratives, is now more popular than it was before it overturned Roe v. Wade, for example. So you have to take all these things with a grain of salt. And it is disconcerting as a constitutional lawyer to see activists on both the left and the right disparage and try to delegitimize the judiciary.
If you had to, I mean, this is a tough question, but just to see, if you had to guess, do you think that there will be at least one Supreme Court vacancy in the next few years for Trump to fill?
I would say not. More likely not.
Really?
Justice Alito is feeling his oats. He's loving where he is. He's writing great opinions. He's 73, I think it is. Justice Thomas just turned 76. If he serves through August of 2028, he will become the longest ever serving justice. So that might be a goal of his, assuming good health.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
You know, I would say, you know, and they're also looking at the political scene. They're not, in a complete vacuum, and they know that Republicans are much more likely to hold the Senate in 26. They'll see where the winds are, and they know that they probably both would have to leave likely in the next presidential term. They'll see how things are shaping up.
Man, I think about the Merrick Garland situation all the time. I used to think about it a lot more when Biden was in office, and thank God that we didn't go that route for sure, because that would have been pretty consequential, I would say.
Well, it also maintaining that vacancy as McConnell did and putting out that statement that there won't be consideration, there won't be hearings or votes before Obama nominated anyone, going on a limb like that, the then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, won Trump the election. If there was not that battle over that open seat, Merrick Garland or otherwise, Trump probably wouldn't have won. It was that narrow in the number of swing states.
Well, and what I've said in defense of Senator McConnell, if whatever you want to say about him is fine, but that moment was pretty important. So I get the critics of Senator McConnell, but you're right. To your point, he did a lot there. What's your message tonight at the Show Me Institute? Different than what you did at WashU? Same topic, talking about the book?
Same topic, more informal. They're telling me it's going to be a wine tasting, which is good because I find that the more my audience has to drink, the wittier I am.
Yes, I find that when I emcee things. There's a big difference, by the way. I think you're half joking, but yes, there's some seriousness to that, right?
It'll be shorter remarks. It'll be, you know, we'll see probably more of a discussion, a longer Q&A period rather than me just giving a speech. But this is one of the reasons why I love traveling around the country, not just speaking at law schools, but speaking to these think tanks and business organizations and other groups. You know, I'm in the idea business. And so it's great when people want to fly me out and
hear what I have to say. Are you aware, just out out of curiosity of our politics over the last couple of days here in St. Louis, because it's been interesting. We kicked a mayor to the curb. Like, there was Cory Bush, Kim Gardner, who was our prosecutor, who, you know, made a lot of mistakes, and then Tashara Jones, the mayor. The election was on Tuesday. Kara Spencer from the Board of Aldermen won, and it was not even close. It was a blowout election, a message that we want change in St. Louis.
Mark, I'll have to apologize. I'm not keeping track of local St. Louis politics, as you know, the Supreme Court keeps me busy enough as it is. So, but that's amazing. You know, I did read that Oakland, for example, Barbara Lee, longtime congresswoman out there, is running for mayor against kind of a more established machine politician, and it's neck and neck. Because even in Oakland, which is obviously very, very blue, they've had enough crime, they've had enough disorder.
Well, even San Francisco, you know, I mean, look, we're under no illusion that the new mayor, who is a progressive, is going to be, you know, somehow switching on a lot of these issues. But Sue lives, well, you just moved out of the city.
Well, I'm still there.
Okay. Well, I lived in the city. But for people in the city, they literally couldn't get trash picked up. And we had a big snowstorm and there wasn't, you know, an attention to the streets. And the streets director was, you know, coming off. So it was all these things one after another. So a lot of it was the identity politics, certainly. But a lot of it was just people fed up with no attention to, you know, all kinds
basic
of attention
services
to the alphabet mafia, no attention to basics. So I actually feel, from a political standpoint, it should really kind of be a national story. Now, the news cycle is pretty heavy right now, but it is interesting, to your point, there are a lot of cities where I think people are saying, I've had enough. And that certainly happened here on Tuesday, which is a good thing. But enjoy your stay. Thanks for coming by in person. Thanks for not letting us know that you were coming into town, as we indicate. But it's great to see you in person.
Yeah, it's a full schedule. I'm also recording Washington Journal on PBS at their affiliate here tomorrow morning.
Really?
So tune in for that.
So who's on that panel? Is that something where you're doing like a satellite from here?
Yeah. I don't know exactly. Again, they just told me when to show up, and sometimes they tell me what we're talking about. In this case, it's again higher ed battles and what the Trump administration.
Do you have like a? Do you have an assistant?
I do.
You should.
There's a media team at Manhattan Institute. There's a legal team. There's people help me with different things. But at the end of the day, you know, it has to go. I still use a paper calendar, a paper scheduler. I have to write it in there. And if it doesn't get in there, then
I'm with you on that. I'm with the whole digital calendar thing. I had to try. Someone was setting up a lunch for me, Sue. Mark Sutherland, our friend Mark Sutherland, wants me to meet someone who is a developer on Wash Avenue. And we set the date last night, which is a week from, I think it's going to be 2 weeks from tonight. Anyway, I told him, I said, I need you to do me a favor. I said, I need you to remind me, and then I need you to remind me again, and then you might need to remind me, because I get that people have calendars, and but I don't look at them. You can put a calendar reminder.
Your phone. And
yeah, but I don't look at the calendar.
As a reminder.
I have so many notifications on my phone.
You ignore
I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm with Ilya on that. I need a personal assistant. How about that? I have just no budget for a personal assistant. Ilya, great. Thank you so much. Enjoy your stay.
Good to be back.
Oh, this is an amazing guitar player named Marcus King, and Marcus King Bang is on the schedule for Evolution Festival. The lineup was announced today. We're going to go over it with Jeff Jarrett from Contemporary Productions in the next hour. I love this soundbite from earlier today from Trump.
So just getting back to your, you know, because I'm the great weaver of all time. To weave, you have to be a genius. To go on tangents, anybody can do that. But we'll get back to your original U.S. deal.
Yeah, well, he was taking questions in the aftermath of one of these cabinet meetings where everyone kind of chimed in. Fox carried it live. I don't know if CNN or any of the other networks did, but he's talking about, you know, some of the things happening with the tariffs and the economy.
There'll be a transition cost and transition problems, but in the end, it's going to be a beautiful thing. We're doing again what we should have done many years ago. We let it get out of control, and we allowed some countries to get very big and very rich at our expense. And can't let that happen.
So I'll have a little bit more audio from that, and we'll talk about the budget resolution, because Chip Roy and some of the other holdouts have weighed in on that. It did pass the House. We're going to see where the big, beautiful bill goes from here. But I want to mention a couple of breaking news stories. There's a rescue that's underway. Sue, I meant to mention this at the top of the show because it happened, or at least they started covering it before 3 o'clock. A helicopter has crashed in New York, I think in the Hudson River. They are saying that 3 people have died. You don't see any portion of the helicopter, so I think it's submerged, but there's a rescue effort that's going on right
there
now.
There's the video of it that's making the rounds on X.
Oh, of it going down?
Oh, it's... Ooh. And they say it's between 3 and 6 people now.
Okay,
they're not
yeah.
sure how many, but, oh, it's disturbing.
Really?
You don't see it up close, but you see it hit.
Yeah, I'm going to look through that
yeah,
and try
it's,
to find that, unfortunately. I also want to mention, because I talked about something related to the city and Kara Spencer at the beginning of the hour, because Ethan had found this tweet where she was kind of supporting bringing the NBA to St. Louis, and I appreciated the aggressiveness of that. I just was more of a realist. But here's the deal, and this happens every once in a while. That was repopulated from a couple years ago when there was a tweet.
It's an old tweet. Yeah, yeah, every now and then.
Right, it does happen. Or someone retweets it, or someone responds to it, and then it goes to your feed. So I think that's what happened there. I'll even see things that confuse me. So every once in a while, when I go to my at replies on X, someone will comment on something, and it's just so out of context. So I'll click on it, and then I realize that they were responding to something that I had tweeted about, like, 2 years ago or something like that, like 2 or 3 years ago sometimes. It's not even something that happened in more recent history. So we'll certainly keep you posted on all the breaking news. But let's talk about the big, beautiful bill and what Mike Johnson's saying about it right now.
The big news today, of course, is that we passed the budget resolution. We adopted the Senate's amendments to the resolution, holding in place all of the commitments and the instructions, the guidelines that the House originally enacted. And that was a big step, because that will allow us now to move forward to have our committees actually drafting the One Big Beautiful Bill. There's a lot of work ahead of us, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, quick correction on my part, because this is actually the budget resolution. And I mentioned Chip Roy, who is down in Texas. I like Chip Roy. You know, he's kind of been someone who has been relatively consistent on the fiscal issues. He was someone that got involved in the whole Kevin McCarthy speaker fight. In fact, I think in the end, he supported McCarthy, but he's been pretty consistent on some of the budget issues. And here's what he said, because he was a holdout, but he says, I reluctantly voted for the Senate amendment to the House budget resolution on the basis of three specific commitments that formed the floor for my consideration of the final reconciliation package. First, the president committed to a minimum of $1 trillion in real reductions in mandatory spending, efforts to fully repeal the damaging green scam subsidies from the Inflation Reduction Act. So that's pretty good. There's Medicaid reforms in here, things along those lines. Second, he said the Speaker of the House made a specific commitment to guarantee the House framework tying tax cuts to spending cuts. This was a non-negotiable deal breaker and will be for the final product. And I kind of agree with him on that. I mean, if you don't, you know, offset this, you're going to have tax cuts. You have to have spending cuts. I'm all for the tax cuts, but let's reel in the spending. He said, in keeping with the House budget resolution, the commitment would mean we start with a base assumption of $2.5 trillion in economic growth, and then $1 for $1 tax cuts to spending cuts above that number, such that when we achieve $1.4 trillion in cuts, we will retrieve the number necessary for permanence, which kind of makes sense. And then he says, third and finally, the Senate Majority Leader committed to achieving the House minimum of $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. This comes from the top of the budget top line numbers that, while aspirational, represent a significant statement of commitment by the Senate to drive down spending. So there's a lot of math in there. There's a lot of blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, you know, we're trying to do something and make significant impact here on the national debt. We got $36 trillion national debt.
Yeah,
I had a chart. I had a chart here a couple of, let me see if I can find this, because I put so many damn things in my iPad, because I take screen captures all the time. But I had this amazing chart of, I think I found it here. Yeah, here. This is kind of on the deficits. Okay. I think I went over these the other day. So you had 2017, some of this is under Trump, right? $665 billion deficit. In 2018, it goes to $779, goes up to $984 in 2019. In 2020, with the COVID blowout, $3.1 trillion.
Jeez.
Now, some people are going to justify that, saying, well, we had to do it because businesses, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we had to send billions of dollars out that could be wasted across the country. In 2021, first year under Biden, $2.8 trillion. So it did go down a little bit there, $1.3 trillion in 2022, back up to $1.6 trillion in 2023. In 2024, $1.8 trillion. So the numbers are quite staggering. Now, again, don't forget that with Washington math, if you just go back to previous spending levels, that's a cut. That's, you know, that's a drastic cut. And you can't do it. It's just ridiculous. So they're trying to fix some of this. I think they're on a good path right now. We got Sue's News coming up in the next hour. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.